before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as we talk to the God of the Word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Remind us, Lord, of the things that we know that we should be doing. Encourage us. Help us see Jesus. Help the preacher to preach and the people to listen. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, on Super Bowl Sunday, it was time for the offering at First Church. And the pastor, big sports fan that he was, called the ushers forward. He took out a quarter, flipped it, and as it went to the ground and landed, he said, "Heads, the ushers will receive." Well, whether you like football or not, most of you have heard that today's the big football day. And that presents pastors with a real dilemma. Ignore it or use it as an opportunity to illustrate spiritual truth. So today, let's have some fun with it, okay? All right, now how many of you knew today was Super Bowl Sunday? Everybody kind of knows that, don't they? Okay. Who's playing? Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots. And what team should have been in the game? The New Orleans Saints. Yeah, see, everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it. So how many of you will be watching the Super Bowl tonight or being present when it is watched? Anybody? Our family always has a get-together. Let's face it, it's become in many ways the second and probably the largest national holiday in February, probably by far. Now, I try to be an observer of our culture, and it doesn't take a genius to see that Americans love sports. In fact, I think it's safe to say that many Christians get more excited about sports on Sunday than they do about Jesus in the church. Just saying, okay? I found this cartoon a while back, and it shows this crowd in front of this giant NFL football player statue. Notice what's in his hand. He's grasping a lot of cash. There's cheerleaders down there. People are bowing. They're cheering. And in the foreground, notice right here a father pointing with his son to the big statue. And he says, "It's why God made Sunday, son." And I saw that and I thought, that really captures the spirit of America today, doesn't it? You don't think they will? Probably not. Not today. Some people watch the Super Bowl, not for football, but strangely enough, they like to watch the commercials. You remember this one from a couple years ago? A little kid dressing up like Darth Vader and the car flashes. That was one of my favorite. But some people, they like to watch the commercials. And of course, Super Bowl commercials are in a category all by themselves compared to what we see the rest of the year. Yeah. Now, rather than fight it, I'm going to do what the Apostle Paul did and use our obsession with sports to focus on spiritual truth. Look at what he said in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" Run in such a way to get the prize. So we take something well known in his culture, foot races were a big part of their Olympics and other sporting events, and makes a spiritual truth with it. The Super Bowl is one of the most widely watched athletic events of the year, and it's been the focus of a lot of people's attention all week. The teams are focused on the game that's coming up. The fans in the stands are going to be focused on the game, and the fans at home are going to be focused on their TV sets and the snacks, no doubt. The advertisers are focused on the event. But listen to me, folks, it will be over tonight. It'll be over tonight. The Super Bowl isn't life. It's an amusing diversion from real life. And today I want to talk about the biggest game of all. And I'm not going to focus on the Super Bowl, but instead on the all-encompassing game of life and not the board game. I'm talking about real life. Coaches say that sports teach us lessons about life, and that's why we should play. Here's a good one from John Wooden. He says, "Do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do." And sports do that, don't they? They do teach us life lessons. In the NFL, the focus all season is to make it to the Super Bowl and then to win. But let me ask you this question. What is the focus of your life day by day, week by week? Is it family? Is it success? Is it pleasure? Is it wealth? Those things can never satisfy. But I'm here today to tell you the Bible has the answer to what will satisfy, and it's good for your soul. And that's why on Sunday we encourage you to bring your Bible. That's why we talk about what the Bible says. So let's open our Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 7 to 14. I'm using the New International Version. I encourage you to use whatever version you choose. But in Philippians 3, we're going to find three similarities that Paul gives us between sports and life. Yes, the Apostle Paul gives us three similarities between sports and the Christian life. Philippians 3, I'm again reading at verse 7. Apostle Paul says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." And then he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers," he says, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This is the Word of God. The Apostle Paul was probably a sports fan. We know he spent time in Corinth, where the Isthmian Games were held. They were second only to the Olympic Games in the ancient world. But Paul knew the supreme focus of life and what it should be. And he knew that it wasn't sports. The first similarity between sports and life that we find in this passage is that you must focus on the goal. You must focus on the goal. What's our goal? What is our goal? Our goal is Jesus. Verses 7 to 10 here tells us that a Christian's goal is to know Jesus, to be like Jesus, to live for Jesus, and to have His righteousness. For the Christian life, it's all about Jesus and following Him. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is what? Christ. For to me to live is Christ." First of all, he says we need to know Jesus. Where do we meet Jesus? In the Bible. That's how we get to know Him, right? We meet Jesus in God's Word. After we meet Him, we have to receive Him, the Bible says. We receive Him as our Lord. How do you do that? Well, I like to tell people it's as simple as ABC. A, you need to admit that you've made mistakes in life. The Bible calls that sin. We need to admit that we're sinners. And then B, we need to believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that He died on the cross for your sin. And put your faith in Him, that His sacrifice covers your sin. And then C, confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And then he says we need to be like Jesus. How? Well, it's very simple. Paul says you need to take out the trash. He does. He says take out the trash. Verse 8 says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." That's the trash. "That I might gain Christ." So I got to get rid of the stuff that hinders my relationship with Christ. We need to dump our pride, our religion. And by that I mean the stuff that we try to do to please God in our own strength. And then we need to accept God's gift of the Holy Spirit to live in us. Learn to listen to God's voice through the Scriptures. That's what Paul did. You know, it wasn't easy for Paul, folks. Paul loved being a religious Jew. He loved everything that went along with that. And he thought that's what made him acceptable to God. He counted on his religion, his self-righteousness, for favor with God. But now, Now he realized that it wasn't his work for God, but God's work in him that produced the righteousness that God desired. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, being found in him, who Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Do you see that? He wasn't depending any longer on his own righteousness, his own good works. What we need, folks, is a faith righteousness. Paul examined his record. He saw that he was bankrupt. He looked at Christ's record and saw that he was perfect. And when Paul trusted Christ, he saw God put Jesus' righteousness on his own account. More than that, Paul discovered that his sins were put on Christ's account and marked paid in full. Paid in full. That's grace, folks, because we don't deserve it. So let me ask you, what's your goal in life? What's your goal in life? Listen to kids who play sports. They want to be like their sports heroes. Who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like? You say, I'm fine. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I believe in God. And that's part of the problem. Many religious people won't even admit that they need any righteousness. Like Saul of Tarsus, they measure themselves by themselves, and they fail to see their attitude that says, I don't need God's help. I've got it covered. And that's a mistake. That's a mistake. Maybe you remember a few years ago, there was a product advertised on TV called Focus Factor. Anybody remember that? Some of you shake your heads. Focus Factor. They were vitamins. Why that name? Because people, as we get older, we feel like we lose our focus sometimes, don't we? Yeah. When you receive Jesus Christ's righteousness, your life will never be the same. If you lost your focus, focus on Jesus. Focus on him. When we receive his righteousness, we can relax because then we've got nothing to prove and nothing to lose. We're in Christ. That's one of the ways the Bible describes us more than any other. To be in Christ, to have his righteousness. And we can relax just like Rob Mao. Who's Rob Mao? Rob Mao was a senior at the soccer team at Wheaton Christian High School. In the last seconds of a big game against Wabanzi Valley, his team was behind by one goal. Rob dribbled the ball running full speed toward the goal, and just before he shot the ball, he glanced at the scoreboard and saw that it read all zeros. But, like any good sports athlete, Rob shot the ball anyway, and it went in. The referee signaled that the goal counted. And so the fans in Wheaton side began to cheer, but the Wabanzi Valley fans cried that time had run out. The game had apparently finished in a tie, and Rob had a choice to make. He could say nothing at all and avoid a loss. After all, it was the referee's job to decide the calls, not his, right? Or Rob could do the right thing. What would you do? Rob asked the referee about the official time. The referee said the scoreboard was the official time, and then he ran off the field. Rob went to his coaches and explained that just before the kick, he had seen all zeros on the clock. Since he didn't hear a whistle, he kept playing. But his goal was late, and it shouldn't have counted. His coaches agreed. So they went over to the opposing coaches, explained what happened, and conceded victory. Rob said this. He said, every time in your life you have an opportunity to do right, you should be thankful. For a person to know what is right and then not to do it, that would be a sin. To have won the fame, I mean, really, who cares? Doing the right thing is more important. It lets you have peace. Folks, we don't have to be perfect because Jesus was. And we have peace because we are in him. If you remember to focus on Jesus, let me tell you something. You win every time, and your life will never be the same. It'll be better. Why? Because we'll have peace. Peace that passes understanding. So in the game of life, you must remember to focus on the goal. And the goal is Jesus, to be like him, to be with him, to be seen in him, to have his righteousness. The second similarity between sports and life we see in this passage is number two, you must never give up. Never give up. The Christian must press on to take hold, the Bible says in verse 12. King James says, I follow after that I may apprehend. That means to take hold of. And then verses 13 and 14, we see him straining toward what is ahead. The words he uses here describes a runner going hard for the tape. The finish line is all he sees. It's the running back with eyes for nothing but the goal. He has his head forward. His body is bent and angled at the goal. It's the player going flat out for the touchdown. How are you running your race of life? Folks, don't let anything interfere with your crossing the goal line. Don't let the disappointments of life keep you from running toward the goal. Don't let the hardships interfere or past mistakes and failures defeat you like so many. Once during a Monday night football game between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants, one of the announcers observed that number 34, Walter Payton, the Bears running back, had accumulated over 9 miles in career rushing yards. The other announcer then remarked, yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. Walter Payton, the most successful running back ever, knew that everyone, even at his best, gets knocked down. The key to success is and run again, and get knocked down, and get up, and run again. Never give up. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is our goal. Remember to focus on Jesus, and you win every time. Every time. So in the game of life, first, you must focus on the goal. Second, Paul says you must never give up. The third similarity between sports and life that the Bible talks about here in Philippians is that you must ignore distractions. You must ignore the distractions of life. Why? Because for us as Christians, life is full of distractions, isn't it? Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it's just like a big game, he says. There's people in the stands watching us, okay? People have gone on before. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember how they treated Jesus, okay? Don't be surprised if we have a lot of things thrown at us. It's easy to be distracted by what Jesus called the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things. Then add to that what the Bible calls the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and suddenly your spiritual life can be choked and stop bearing fruit. Corrie ten Boom once said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. That's good, isn't it? That's good, isn't it? Look within, or look at the world, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed, but look at God and be at rest. Are you letting your mistakes keep you from reaching your goal? Don't do it. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has failures in their life. But we have a forgiving God who is the God of new beginnings. And you know what? For us, the game isn't over yet either, is it? The game's not over yet. I don't know if you ever heard of the story of Wrong Way Regals. It's one of the most famous football mistakes ever. On New Year's Day in 1929, Georgia Tech played UCLA in the Rose Bowl. In that game, a young man named Roy Regals, recovered a fumble for UCLA. I want you to watch what happens next. Let's go back and try it again. Is it going to play? Try clicking on it.
History led to defeat for his team. In the 1929 game, Cal's Roy Regals recovered a fumble and ran 65 yards the wrong way before a teammate wrestled him to the ground at the one. A block punt led to a safety, an 8-7 Georgia Tech win, and a dubious place in history for Roy Regals. The most famous play by a...
Picking up the ball was not loose. He ran the wrong direction, 65 yards. That strange play came in the first half. At halftime, the UCLA coach met with the players in the dressing room, as they usually do. The football coach usually has a great deal to say at halftime to his team. But that day, Coach Price was quiet. He finally looked at the team and he said, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second half." When the time came, the players got up and started out, everybody but Roy Regals. He didn't budge. The coach looked back and called to him, but he didn't move. And the coach went over to where he was sitting and he said, "Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team that played the first half is going to start the second." And Roy looked up, tears in his eyes, and he said, "Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined the university's reputation. I've ruined myself. I can't face the crowd out there." The coach reached out and put his hand on Roy's shoulder and he said, "Roy, get up and go back out because the game is only half over." He did go up. He went out and played his best for the second half. But folks, the point is, your game's not over either. It doesn't matter what's in the past. Press on toward the goal. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's a forgiver. He's the God of second chances. Press on. Many of us have wrong along in the wrong direction, maybe for some time, but because of God's mercy, we can still win. We can have victory in Christ. Sometimes we let other people's opinions keep us from the goal. You ever heard of Babe Ruth? Sure you have. There was an umpire named Babe Pinelli. He called Babe Ruth out on strikes, and Babe Ruth argued with him. Babe Ruth falsely reasoned that the majority made him right. And he said to the umpire, "Ump, there's 40,000 people out there. I knew that was a ball, tomato head." The umpire replied, "Maybe so, but mine is the only opinion that counts." Folks, as Christians, we're also influenced by the opinions of other people, aren't we? People who are often opposed to God's moral law. But we know that in the end, only one opinion counts. And whose opinion is that? God's opinion. God's opinion. He's a divine umpire over all human affairs, isn't he? If you want a scriptural application of that, look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, "I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me." Sometimes we need to forget the past and focus on the future. Paul says in Philippians 3 that we read earlier, verse 13, he said, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Some Christians are distracted by their failures. Others are distracted by the trophies of the past. And they lose their focus on what God wants them to do today. Today. All around, they're losing the game of life. Neighbors and friends without Christ are being ignored as we reminisce on the good old days, the way things used to be. Folks, there's no going back. There's no going back. We have to go forward. Following a rags-to-riches 1995 season that ended at the Rose Bowl, their first in decades, Northwestern University's Wildcats met with their coach, Coach Barnett, for the opening of the 1996 spring training. As the players found their seats, Coach Barnett announced that he was going to hand out awards that the players had earned in the 1995 season. They were puzzled. Coach Barnett didn't normally dwell on the past, but as the coach called players up and handed them placards with their achievements, MVP, you know, all those awards that players get, their teammates kind of started cheering them on. Yeah, yeah. And then one of the other coaches gave Coach Barnett a placard representing his 17 National Coach of the Year awards. Quite an accomplishment. As the applause faded, Barnett walked over to a trash can marked 1995. He took an admiring look at his placard, and then he dumped it into the can. In the silence that followed, one by one, the team dumped their awards on top of the coaches. What was the coach's message? What you did in 1995 was great, but it's the past. We have a new year in front of us. Friends, it's great to celebrate the accomplishments of the past, but with God, our best days are always ahead. Amen? They're always ahead. What does God want you to do this week? Can he use you to do it? Will you let him? So let's review. In the game of life, the biggest game of all, there's only one way to win. What do we need to do? First of all, we need to focus on the goal. What's the goal? Jesus. Secondly, we must never give up. And then thirdly, we must ignore distractions. Apostle Paul knew this. Listen to what he wrote in Acts chapter 20. He says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Folks, if you will focus on Jesus, you win every time. With Jesus, there's victory in the game of life. You might lose some battles, right? But there's forgiveness, and there's a new start, and there's a welcome home. And there's love. God loves you. He always has. He always will. If you're here without Christ, will you come to Jesus today? Trade your self-righteousness for Jesus' righteousness. Let him forgive you. Let him make you his child. Isn't that amazing? We get to be part of God's family. Christian friend, has something distracted you from Jesus? Maybe at one time you were running a good race, but then you stumbled. Will you rededicate your life to the Lord today? Tell him that the past doesn't matter, and from this day forward, you're going to keep your eyes on Jesus and serve him. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these encouraging words today from the Apostle Paul. Help each one of us to take them to heart, to stop focusing on the past, put our eyes not just on the future, but on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross so that we too could be sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Pray for each one here today that you'll help us to run the race that you set before us in a way that will please you today. In Jesus' name. For eternal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Now go out and do great things in Jesus' name.